Let's bow our heads and pray for just a moment. O Lord, help us to hear your word, that we may understand, and that by understanding we may believe. And by believing, we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeing your honor and glory in all that we do. And may this hour of worship be meaningful to us and pleasing to you. Amen. I invite you now to read along with me, or simply listen to the word of our Lord. It is recorded this morning in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Also from Matthew 10, verses 28 to 31, and then verses 38 to 42. Jesus is speaking here. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And now it happened as they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Oh, friends, the good news of the gospel is that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will last forever. And this is the word of our Lord. My mom told me many years ago that if I were going to preach along the way and tell stories, at least tell truthful ones and not whoppers. And I've tried my very best to follow her advice. But this morning I've got a story for you, and it is a true one. A couple of weeks ago, I was filling in for Steve Willis, the interim pastor over at Hebron Presbyterian. And I preached on the problem of pride in our lives. Pride, of course, is one of the seven deadly sins. And coming up with a title, I decided to call it Proud as a Peacock. And I think it was well received. Well, on the way home, Debbie and I talked about peacocks. Their beautiful colors, how proud they seem to be as they strut around. And we finally got home from church. We were driving up the driveway. And there in the middle of my driveway was a first-time ever visitor, and it was a peacock. And he stayed with us off and on for several days, and I haven't seen him for a while, so apparently he's returned to his home from his many vacations. Debbie was actually kind of intrigued with the big bird, although she's not real comfortable with any sized, large winged animal. We were over at Millmont Gardens just the other day, saw Tammy and Tom there, and she was greeted by a parrot on her way to the restroom, and definitely not pleased to be spoken to by a talking bird 2 feet away from her, even though he did say good morning to her. And I do think she did actually respond to the greeting. So anyway, she cautioned me to be very careful about sermon titles for a while. And our bird title this morning is about sandpipers. And if we get home today and find a yard full of them, then I'll know for sure there's a message from God waiting for me. At the Atlantic coastal beaches, from the Outer Banks to the rocky shores of Maine, there is a bird, a spindly-legged fellow, who often runs out into the sand while the waves are retreating and quickly looks for any small fish or small particles of food that the waves may have brought in. And then, just as quickly, it'll fly up into the air and wait for the next wave to come roaring back in. Not the size of a seagull or a peacock or a parrot, but just a real little fella. And sometimes these guys are so jerky that their movement's like a blur. They are called a leased, L-E-S-T, sandpiper. Leased sandpiper. And they have a cousin, the semi-palmated sandpiper. And these two guys seem so nervous and excitable. And these critters remind me of us Americans because overall, we are super active doers. Like sandpipers, we are constantly rushing about, never still. Sandpipers are super active, and so are we. One author says, plainly, this is not the age of the meditative man. It is a sprinting, squinting, shoving age. And it's true. You know, we talk about burnout and fatigue, and we do not with sorrow or remorse, but almost like a badge of honor. It's something to be expected. I'm reminded of those sisters who loved Jesus, Mary and Martha. Martha was swamped with her duties and finally snapped, "Jesus, tell my sister to help me. There's just so much to do." Well, meanwhile, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and enjoying the afternoon of conversation and fellowship and love. And Martha was just a little more concerned about the dust on the floor and cookies in the oven. And I'm sure, just as sure as I'm standing here, that several women are going to come up to me after church and say, "Okay, but what would we be without the Marthas?" And that's somewhat of a valid point. Of course, life does need doers and active ones. And I do wish lots of times, not just here at Bethel, but other churches too, where I've spoken, that I could build a fire under some of us, that we could march onward like Christian soldiers, or at least be like Martha, instead of just singing or talking about it. But this morning, there is that other side of life, besides our doing and sandpipering, that we need to be aware of. And I think it is really so important. We need to be more than rushing through the day, crashing at night, and jumping out of bed the next morning at the sound of the alarm clock to do it all over again. If we are to have balance as persons, then friends, we really need that part of life which is called receiving. It is receptivity, it is quietness, it is time for reflection. It's a time to be truly at peace with the world, with God, and with yourself. And we require times of patience and prayer, perhaps, well, maybe because we're facing a situation where we can't do anything, or because we've run out and run down. It's at that time that we need a pause that refreshes and empowers. I mean, there are the intervals when we take a vacation, Or maybe really use a Sunday to be a Sabbath, and we can step back. It's relying on God when we have done everything we can do, and we need to lean back and trust that He knows the way. It's the finding calm in the midst of a storm. Do you know what Abraham Lincoln's favorite verse was in the Bible? Now, he was a great doer, but his favorite was taken from the time when the children of Israel were faced against the Red Sea, and those Egyptian horsemen and chariots were closing in on them from behind. And Moses cries out to his people, he said, "Stand still and see the mighty works of God." Exodus chapter 14. Stand still and let God do what you can't do for yourself. And that got Lincoln through a lot of grim and tragic moments. Well, if we are to find serenity for a sandpiper, so where do we find it? That's the trick. First of all, I suggest this. Accept the fact that you are loved. Or to put it negatively, stop trying to justify yourself. Quit working so hard to be loved. Because, friends, you already are by God. You know, some of us are perfectionists and we beat on ourselves. And within some of us is the fear that we're not truly worthy unless we're out there doing something or accomplishing something. But some things must be done for us and can't be done by us. And being made right with God, that is received and accepted, is our Savior's work. It's not ours. Not ours. All we need to do is receive it. We tragically try harder and worry about our value when we are gracefully received in advance. Are you with me? One author has said that people believe that Jesus came to earth and died in order to persuade God that we are worthy and loved. I don't think it's right. I don't think that's so. I think Jesus came to earth to persuade us that God already loves and cares and forgives us. So quit adding up all those good deeds in the hope that God will care for you, because He already does. We live in grace, and that is a ceaseless flow of loving acceptance. And by accepting the fact that you are accepted, you can take all the anxiety out of life. Of course we do good and loving deeds, but we don't do them in fear. We do good deeds in thanksgiving and joy because God has already received us. God can't love you any more than He already does. Bottom line. So friends, be at peace. Secondly, if we are to find some serenity for us sandpipers, I invite you to live one day at a time. You know, one of the reasons that we are so fretful and we're fussy doers is that we worry about tomorrow, its needs, its responsibilities, maybe even its terrors. It's a great burden to bear if you have to carry all of that today. And Jesus said, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Great. Something to look forward to, huh? You see, with God's help and a little help from our friends, that we can handle this 24 hours. But the specter of the next month's troubles or next year's headaches laid on top of these, it's too much to bear. It's too much anxiety. It is nervous, fretful doing and worrying, and it takes all the juices out of life. You know, I'm not sure what's going on with the churches here in the Shenandoah Valley right now, but Debbie and I have been running from church to church over the past year, supplying pulpits for 5 different Presbyterian houses of worship. And for the remainder of this year, our schedules are practically filled too, our Sundays are. I will be here several times over the next few months, and Derek and Jill and Brian and I will keep pedaling the Bethel bicycle for you. But here's my point. During this time, with all the scheduling that is coming up, all the Sundays that I'm tied up for the next several months, I don't even begin to allow myself to even think about what the sermon topic will be on October 17th, for example, Second Pres in Waynesboro. And so far, I haven't even thought about next Sunday at Augusta Stone when I'll be there. If I did, my mind would go into a slow spin. But if I stay focused, if I concentrate exclusively on the upcoming Sunday, then it's not so traumatic. I can manage one at a time. Or think about baskets of laundry. If you can imagine all the clothes that you're going to have to wash during the calendar year, all those baskets, well, they might reach from here to the sanctuary, one right after the other, right? But today's wash, we can handle that. One day at a time, a piece of cake. Live one day at a time, and it will help relieve that fretful, anxious feeling. And friends, I promise you, God will help you through it. You remember that old hymn, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus? One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. God, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. And you know, sometimes it's not easy, but it's God's will for us. Now, the only real exception to this rule deals with what we are celebrating today, Christmas in July. Today is July 25th, 5 months, 150 shopping days till Christmas morning. So if you see something tomorrow at the Fashion Gallery or TJ Maxx that might work for a Christmas present, I recommend that you go ahead and get it. Hide it under the bed. Wives, trust me that your husbands never look under the bed at all. But for us guys, we strictly follow Jesus' rule of not worrying about tomorrow, since most of us begin our Christmas shopping on December 22nd. We don't worry about tomorrow or even Christmas morning. Plenty of time left to think about that special day. Okay, back to the sandpipers. Third, and this is a real important one here. If we are to find some serenity for us nervous sandpipers, I invite you to meditate and be quiet. The psalmist has God say, "Be still and know that I am God." I think the deep things in life come in quietness, not with noise and activity. And the psalmist is not being real polite here either. God is saying, hush, hush up, be quiet, silence, calm down, and learn that I am God. And then it is that we can hear God speaking to us in thought and in purpose. You know, you can't read the Gospels at all without noticing how Jesus takes time apart to pray. You know, he's been healing and teaching and caring and giving. And then he gets into a boat and he leaves the crowds. Or he goes up into the mountains. Or he finds a special garden, like the Garden of Gethsemane, a quiet place. And the entire reason that he does all of this is to be renewed. It's to get balance. It's to get his bearings. It's to receive new strength. And then when he comes back, he is strong and vibrant for the people that need him. Remember the prophet Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 40, verse 30, He said, why even the youth get weary and lose their strength? Of course. And we old folks do too, don't we? However, he says, they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Doesn't that paint a beautiful picture? It's a promise for the quiet spirit. And finally, if we were to find some serenity for us anxious sandpipers, then I trust that you'll look to God for the future. Now, friends, I'm not counseling you again to quit planning for tomorrow. There are too many list makers and financial planners here to get me away from with that. And that's not our problem. The problem is that we overshoot the mark. You know, we're like that person on the airplane who never lets his weight down for the whole flight. Our plans become worry and anxiety and thrashing about. I love the story about Bishop Quayle of England. One night he was in bed and he was tossing and turning and turning and tossing, and with his worries he was getting no rest at all. And then he thought he heard God speak to him. Quayle, you go to sleep and I'll stay up and worry the rest of the night. Jesus tells us, don't be so full of care about things which you eat or drink or put on. Why, God takes care of the common sparrows. Every time a sparrow falls or even lights on the ground, the Father sees and cares for it. And yet for one penny, you can buy two sparrows. And in the Gospel of Luke, he says for two pennies you get five sparrows, one thrown in for good measure. But your Heavenly Father even cares for the one thrown in for a bargain. And the point is that you're of far more value than many sparrows. We can actually learn more from the sparrows than from the sandpipers. There's a neat poem by a guy named Elizabeth Sheeny. And the words are these. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would surely like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Sometimes I do think that animals have a greater sense of being than we humans do. One of the fastest growing exercises across America is that of yoga. Have any of you ever done yoga before? It's a challenge. It's more than just contemplating your navel, believe me. Years ago, I took a couple of classes, sweated a lot through them, and lost my balance a couple times, and finally resigned myself to the fact that I was not cut out for that. But admittedly, yoga can play an important part of exercise for the mind and body. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I encourage you to also exercise your spiritual awakenings too. You know, in our worship services, I do think that one of the most important parts of the Sunday experience is that of the silent prayer. When you're given the opportunity to speak directly with God, expressing your needs or frustrations or simply thanking Him for the life that He's given to you. And sometimes in the busyness of our workday, sometimes we just don't have time for that opportunity to reflect upon spiritual thoughts. Well, this morning as we pray in just a few minutes, I invite you to clear your mind of senseless clutter and to thank God for all the gracious things He's done for you. And then tell him you'll catch up with him later for a longer conversation when you retire for the evening. And then tonight, after you climb in bed, how about you speak with and listen to the Almighty? After you've turned off your cell phone and the television and Set the alarm clock after you've kissed your spouse goodnight and told her that you love her. I know it's so easy to drift off real quickly, but in the silence of the bedroom, think of Samuel, that prophet. It was a young boy, he heard the word of God, and he sits straight up in bed and he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I hope you'll give it a try. You don't necessarily need a long discussion, just a connection for a few minutes. And you might even sleep better afterwards for all of that. For us sandpipers and us Marthas, there really can be serenity. In the darkness of the night, remember that you already are loved. Live one day at a time and trust God for the future. And then listen, for perhaps God just might have a message for you. Amen.